It's the WEOL Lorraine Palace Theater Spotlight on Oberlin. It's this portion brought to you by Yes for Oberlin Schools. Keep the good news about Oberlin Schools coming with a yes vote on Issue 3, paid for by Yes for Oberlin Schools. Also brought to you by Midas of Oberlin. Trust the Midas touch. Visit Midas at 90 South Main Street in Oberlin for over 32 years, just down the road from where we're here at the Main Street Diner. I'm Bruce Van Dyke.
I'm Craig Adams.
And joining us now is Superintendent of Oberlin Schools, John Schroth. Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate that.
Good morning. Thanks for being here in Oberlin. We really appreciate it.
John, how long have you been with the schools?
I came here in 2007 after being with Strongsville Schools for about 12 years. Came in as the Director of Operations and Business Manager and did that till about 4 years ago. So it's my fourth year now as a superintendent.
Now, again, we mentioned this earlier with Eric Norenberg, City Manager. He and Marvin Krizloff, President of the College, and you all kind of came in around the same time.
Correct. Right. There was a big kind of turnover in leadership across the city at that time, and we've all kind of stuck it out together here over the last 7 years.
And I imagine you've had an opportunity to work with both in many different ways.
Yeah, here in Oberlin, we have a really strong connection between the schools and the college and the city. We meet regularly. We're all on speed dial, and when it comes to cooperation and really working together, I think a model of how a small college town can operate.
It's what makes the city special and what people look for. Schools, also the setting, which the college is kind of sort of sets the blueprint a little bit with what happens there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. The college adds so much to our public schools. We have literally hundreds of tutors, college students that come over and help our students on a daily basis. We have the America Reads and America Counts program that are both through the Bonner Center for Service and Learning over at the college. It's just a fantastic resource, and we would not be able to see the kinds of achievement that our students have without the help of the college.
They get sort of a future of what they can become by seeing either college students or looking at these historic buildings or knowing. Some people think college when they're in school is a distant thing. To them, it's right in their community.
Right. I mean, we live it, and we live it every day. Our students live it every day. And many of our students, our juniors and seniors, have the opportunity to take courses at the college. And it's a wonderful opportunity because you can just walk over. It's not like you have to drive over, take some time out and lose part of your day. And that's through a special arrangement with the college where it's all done for free. There's no cost back to the district and no cost for books and things like that. So we've had a record number of students take advantage of that.
Oberlin College is known around the world. Do the juniors, the seniors in high school realize what a gem it is in their own backyard?
I really don't think so. in being kind of a newcomer here to the district, I've lived in Lorain County all my life, but I didn't live in Oberlin. And our students take a lot of things for granted. Our elementary students go over to the art museum monthly for special lessons with the director of education over there. And they just think that all elementary students go to art museums every month. Our fifth graders get to take swimming lessons over at the college. There's just something that happens. They feel that that's part of what all elementary students get to do. So I think after they leave high school, they realize, many of them realize what a gem they had and what a great experience they had here at Oberlin, and many of them come back.
Many school districts, some are experiencing growing pains or different types of enrollment. What's the status of enrollment at Oberlin Schools and as far as the facilities that you have for the students? Mm-hmm.
We've been very flat for about the last 10 years. We're right around that 1,000, 1,050 mark. We're up a little bit last year. We were down below 1,000 last year, and then this year we're up to around 1,035 or so. We have four buildings here, a K-12 building. That's Eastwood Elementary, a 345 building, Prospect. Our oldest building, Langston, right off the square here, is our middle school and the high school right up the street. So all the buildings are located right here within the city center, even though we do encompass 37 square miles. We go all the way down to most of New Russia Township and Carlisle and Rittman a little bit to our west and to the south. So we have a pretty big geographical footprint. But the majority of our students, a little over half of our students, come within the city limits, and all of our buildings are located here. So with 1,000 students, we're facing the issue of we're maintaining a lot of building square footage, you know, that we really don't necessarily need. We have about 250 square feet per student when the county average is about 150 square feet per student. And when you're dealing with old buildings, that's costly. It's a little bit of that empty nester syndrome where we're still living in that big house even though, you know, about half of our kids are gone from the time that the district was built. So we've been working over the last 5 years on a long-term facilities plan and how we can remedy that. And right now we're working on the idea of a new elementary school, a PK-5 elementary school, that would be located up on the high school site. And then we'd be able to close our two elementary schools when that happens. So we have a lot more information to come out on that after the first of the year and possibly looking at a May ballot issue.
I know now you've got a ballot issue coming up next week.
Right. Issue 3 is, again, a result of that older school syndrome that we face. Issue 3 is a permanent improvement levy that will raise about $185,000 to be used just for repairing buildings and buying curriculum, buying buses, repairing band and orchestra instruments, doing those types of things. We faced over the last few years, we have 2 mills of current PI on the books today, but as our buildings age, that money has gone shorter and shorter into the school year. You know, 2 years ago, it lasted till about March. Last year, it was gone by January. And this year, I just found out last night at our board meeting that that money's already gone. We've already used up all of our permanent improvement money for this year. So as repairs are needed coming up, I mean, we still have to fix our roofs. We still have to repair our buses, that money is going to have to come out of the general fund, which means less money available for classroom instruction and for educational materials and things like that. So issue 3 will allow us to remedy that situation, to give us a little bit of extra money to take care of our old facilities and still protect the money for education.
Eric talked about losing some state money, state budget cutbacks over the past couple of years. Have those cuts impacted the Oberlin schools?
You know, it's been, state funding has been pretty flat over the last few years. You know, what we've seen as the state haggles about the school funding formula and, you know, what to do about school funding. You know, many politicians, you're hearing on the ads that are running constantly now, that they brag about increasing funding for education. But, you know, us here at the districts, we haven't seen that. You know, most of that is based upon school construction dollars that they've spent, and not on school operating dollars. You know, we went through a rough time a few years ago as the economy turned down, and our, you know, we rely heavily on income tax here. Most districts rely heavily on property tax. And income tax is more volatile. And when the economy turned down, we were hurt by that. We lost money. But with the help of our unions and working together to save money, we were able to get through that. And, you know, we're back to the point now where our 5-year forecast is pretty strong. Compared to a lot of our neighbors around here. So, you know, they need to fix school funding, that's for sure. We're doing everything we can to protect ourselves from Columbus and to protect ourselves from the financial, I guess you can say, the waves of financial information that come out of Columbus, and we've done a pretty good job of that so far.
And along the way, I noticed, too, that you've been honored for your work over the past year or so. Tell us about those.
Yeah, we've been very fortunate. You know, our focus here has always been that every student can achieve. When we instituted the International Baccalaureate program some 4 years ago, we did that for every student. We felt that this wasn't going to be a program that we wanted to take just the best and the brightest, but something that every student in Oberlin was entitled to be a part of, and that every student in Oberlin can achieve. And because of that, you know, last year we were recognized as a breakthrough school by the MetLife Foundation and the National Association of Secondary School Administrators. That's one of 9 schools nationwide that have really done a great job in achievement for low-income students and minority students, and we were really proud of that recognition. And that was followed up this fall with recognition by Newsweek in the Newsweek Top 500 Schools in what's called their Beating the Odds list, and that's schools that are also doing a great job in educating low-income students and minority students. So we're very proud of that. We received an A on a report card for that and how we educate our lowest 20%. And even though a lot of people on that 500 list wouldn't be those school districts that you would expect to see on a list of districts that are doing well with their low-income students, a lot of high-income districts were on that list. We were happy and proud to be recognized by them. And I think it's a direct result of all the work that our teachers have done over the last 5 years to revise our curriculum, to implement the International Baccalaureate program, and really make this district a place where everyone is expected to achieve.
Report cards going home? Did they go home yet, or are you at that point? This when they get the first grading period through?
Yeah. The first grading period is always that the one that I think students are most concerned about, because the report cards come home right at trick or treat time.
So is it a trick or a treat?
Is it going to be a trick or a treat? Yeah. Hopefully there are no surprises out there, and all of our parents will be happy with the work that their students have done. So yeah, report cards will be coming out at the end of this week.
Oh, that's great. Our guest today has been Superintendent of Oberlin Schools, John Schroth. Thanks for sharing the details of the school with us. Appreciate your time this morning.
Oh, you're very welcome.